Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Bus Drivers Dedication Nets Award. After many years with Ector County ISD, Margarita Bennett was shocked to find herself named the Transportation Department Employee of the Year. Bennett, a special education driver, said she honestly didn't think she had a chance to win the award. "I was wrong," she said. "This year, 15 employees were recognized who believe in the school district's vision that our students are the future and who live it out in their daily work," the website said. Winners are chosen by their peers. No matter the role or the title, every member of the ECISD team plays a key role in fulfilling our mission to inspire and challenge every student to be prepared for success and to be adaptable in an ever-changing society, it said. Bennett initially applied to be a bus monitor, but another driver encouraged her to apply to be a driver. She resisted because she couldn't see herself driving one of the big yellow vehicles. But Bennett ultimately applied and was hired. The district trained her to drive a school bus. "They would take us and get trained and drive the bus, parallel park, everything that you need to know to be a driver." She first drove kindergarten children, then teen parents, and now special needs students. But she'll drive just about any route that's needed. Bennett drove for summer learning for the first time this year and was disinfecting the buses to get them ready for the new school year on a recent Wednesday. She now drives a smaller bus than she started. "I had been a regular bus driver, and then I was a driver for teen parents. I loved that, but it was not enough hours." She looked for a route and found this one with more hours and hours that were more suitable for her. The children range anywhere from intellectual to physically disabled. "It just makes you be extra careful because you have to be watching out there and inside as well," said Bennett. Obituaries. Donna Lynn Heiser, age 77, passed away on July the 27th. The family will receive visitors on Friday, August the 2nd, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Midland. A memorial service to celebrate Donna's life will be held on Saturday, August the 3rd at 2:30 p.m. at Renew Life Church in Midland, with interment to immediately follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Frances Marie Bostick Reedy, age 98, of Odessa, went home to be with her Lord and Savior on Saturday, July the 27th. A graveside service for Fran will be held Friday, August the 2nd at 11 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Alonzo Munoz, age 26, of Odessa, passed away on Thursday, July 18th. A vigil will begin at 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. on Thursday, August the 1st, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Services will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, August the 2nd, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Glenda Darlene Carlton, age 81, of Odessa, died Saturday, July the 27th, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m., August the 5th, at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Ivy Lynn Claxton, age 2, of Midland, died Tuesday, July the 23rd, in Lubbock. Celebration of life will be at 3 p.m., August the 2nd, at American Heritage Funeral Home. Randy Joe Collins, 68, of Odessa, died Sunday, July the 28th. Funeral service will be at 1 p.m., August the 1st, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Sylvia Anita Didi Rowe, age 91, of Odessa, died Friday, July the 26th, in Odessa. Graveside service will be held at 3 p.m., August the 2nd, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Ellen Sue Snodgross, age 79, of Monahans, died Saturday, July the 27th, in Monahans. No services have been scheduled, but arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Peggy Jean Wilson has passed away. Visitation with family and friends will be 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, August the 2nd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will be 10 a.m. Saturday, August the 3rd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel in Odessa. And burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Michael Wysong has passed away, and memorial services will be held at the Holiday Inn Express on August the 1st, located at 5321 JBS Parkway. In honor of his love of family and barbecue, there will be food and swimming from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. This day in history. Today is Wednesday, July the 31st. And on July the 31st in 2012, at the Summer Olympics in London, swimmer Michael Phelps won his 19th Olympic medal, becoming the most decorated Olympian of all time. He would finish his career with 28 total Olympic medals, 23 of them gold. And also on this date in 1715, a fleet of Spanish ships carrying gold, silver, and jewelry sank during a hurricane off the East Florida coast. Of some 2,500 crew members, more than 1,000 died. In 1777, the 19-year-old Marquess de Lafayette received a commission as Major General in the Continental Army by the Second Continental Congress. In 1919, Germany's Weimar Constitution was adopted by the Republic's National Assembly. In 1945, Pierre Laval, premier of the pro-Nazi Vichy government in France, surrendered to U.S. authorities in Austria. He was turned over to France, which later tried and executed him. In 1957, the Distant Early Warning Line, a system of radar stations designed to detect Soviet bombers approaching North America, went into operation. In 1964, the U.S. lunar probe Ranger 7 took the first close-up images of the moon's surface. In 1971, Apollo 15 crew members David Scott and James Irwin became the first astronauts to use a lunar rover on the surface of the moon. In 1972, vice presidential candidate Thomas Eagleton withdrew from the Democratic ticket with George McGovern following disclosures that Eagleton had received electroshock therapy to treat clinical depression. In 2020, a federal appeals court overturned the death sentence of Jacquard Zarnoff in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing, saying the judge who oversaw the case didn't adequately screen jurors or potential biases. The Supreme Court later reimposed the sentence.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Saturday, July 27th. Oxy Crown Rock waiting period ends. EcoPetrol wants in. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Occidental Petroleum's $12 billion acquisition of Crown Rock from Lime Rock Partners and the Dunn family of Midland is approaching the finish line. Occidental announced this week the Hart-Scott-Rodino waiting period for the acquisition has expired. That means, the company said, conditions to closing have been satisfied other than those to be satisfied at closing. The acquisition is now expected to close in August after completion of the financing marketing period contemplated in the purchase agreement. At the same time, EcoPetrol, the largest and primary petroleum company in Colombia, notified Occidental of its plans to acquire an undivided 30% interest in the Crown Rock assets. The two companies are in discussions regarding a structure for EcoPetrol's potential acquisition of the interest. If consummated, Occidental expects the EcoPetrol transaction purchase price to be approximately $3.6 billion. In 2019, Occidental Midland Basin LLC, a wholly owned indirect subsidiary of Occidental, and Ecopetrol Permian LLC, formed Rodeo Midland Basin as a joint venture to develop and operate oil and gas properties in the Midland Basin. The $1.5 billion joint venture is comprised of 97,000 net acres of Occidental's holdings across Andrews, Ector, Glasscock, Howard, Martin, Midland, Reagan, and Upton counties. The acreage includes 4,700 gross drilling locations with rights to multiple benches, including the Middle and Lower Spraberry and the Wolfcamp A, B, and C. Under that joint venture, each of Occidental Midland Basin and Ecopetrol were given the right, subject to certain conditions, to participate in oil and gas interests acquired by the other and its affiliates in an area of mutual interest. If Occidental and Ecopetrol failed to agree on a structure for Ecopetrol to acquire the 30% stake in Crown Rock, Ecopetrol will have the option to allow the Rodeo Midland JV to acquire the Crown Rock assets. This would result in an indirect ownership by Ecopetrol of an undivided 49% interest in the Crown Rock assets. This option expires in August 2024. Occidental expects to use any proceeds from the Ecopetrol transaction to pay down a portion of its term loans. Bayswater Energy successfully follows geology east. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Since it launched drilling operations in Howard County in 2021, Bayswater Exploration and Production has been following the geology as it develops its acreage. That geology has led the Denver-based company east into Mitchell County, where it has seen success drilling 2.5-mile Wolfcamp step-outs. Quote, "We followed the geology. We did a significant amount of geologic mapping and log analysis," Aaron Fisher, senior geoscientist and technical manager, Permian Basin, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. He said the company found carbonate-rich Wolfcamp A in its original eastern Howard County holdings before drilling its inaugural Far East No. 3W well in 2021. Quote, "We anticipated substantial effective porosity and high oil saturation within the carbonates, which we believed would significantly boost production. Our technical team at Bayswater developed a petrophysical model that integrated the conventional pore system alongside the traditional unconventional Wolfcamp A model," he said. That approach highlighted the productive potential of the Wolfcamp A extending into Mitchell County, allowing the company to push that potential 10 miles further east than the industry thought possible, he added. Several companies are already leasing offset acreage, Fisher said. John Dyer, Senior Vice President, Permian Basin, said the Mitchell County development is in its early stages, but that Bayswater is seeing good results. Quote, "Aaron and I are excited about the wells, but there is still some analysis to be done," he said. Bayswater has drilled more than 30 wells in the Wolfcamp A formation. The company's initial projections targeted a 700,000-barrel type curve. Fisher and Dyer said there has been consistent performance across infill and child wells, achieving or exceeding that curve. They described the Wolfcamp A as relatively shallow in the area, with an approximately 5,500 to 7,500 feet true vertical depth, which allows for drilling to be completed in just 8.5 days from spud to rig release. Bayswater has amassed over 30,000 acres in eastern Howard and northwestern Mitchell counties, and Fisher said the acreage lends itself to the 2.5-mile laterals. Bayswater has already drilled 45 Wolfcamp A wells, 24 of which are in production, and 21 are in various stages of completion. The company could drill hundreds of Wolfcamp A wells, Fisher said. Dyer said the company is always looking for new opportunities. Quote, "We like the Permian Basin a lot. We think it's a great place for a base of operations," he said. "There are opportunities in the Permian Basin," end quote. Dyer attributed much of the company's success in Howard and Mitchell counties to the company's field office in Coahoma. The staff there is responsible for safely operating and producing the wells, quote, "and doing a heck of a job for us," end quote. Atlas Kodiak developing driverless truck deliveries. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. Atlas Energy Solutions does not shy away from unconventional solutions. The Austin-based company is constructing a 42-mile electrified conveyor system to carry sand from its mine at Kermit into Lee County, New Mexico. Now the company has teamed up with Kodiak Robotics to use autonomous trucking for its deliveries. Kodiak already has successfully made its first driverless delivery of frac sand in the Permian Basin, with a driverless truck delivering frac sand from an Atlas depot to a well site, a 21-mile drive. Daniel Goff, director of external affairs, told the reporter Telegram that several years ago the company pivoted to commercial truck fleets. Quote, "Initially, we focused on long-haul trucking," he said in a telephone interview. The first trips included a safety driver behind the wheel in case of emergency. Now its fleet of trucks travel from its operations center in Lancaster east to Atlanta and north to Oklahoma. Autonomous long-haul trucking is becoming common in Texas and across the South, Goff noted. For the past 2 years, Kodiak has been working on a $50 million Department of Defense project for off-road reconnaissance vehicles. Goff said the work with Atlas is a perfect marriage of autonomous and off-road driving. Quote, "We made the first completely driverless delivery in May with no one in the cab, driving 21 miles on private lease road," Goff noted. He said there was other traffic on the road, quote, "and you can see drivers going by and doing double takes that there was no one in the cab," end quote. The two companies have signed an agreement to commercialize the technology. Atlas has placed an order for Kodiak-equipped driverless trucks that will deliver frac sand across the Permian Basin's existing infrastructure of private lease roads. Early next year, Atlas plans to launch commercial operations using its first two trucks equipped with the Kodiak driver, Kodiak's industry-leading autonomous system. Under the agreement, Kodiak will provide its technology to Atlas via a driver-as-a-service licensing agreement. Atlas will own the trucks, and Kodiak will provide the Kodiak driver's fully redundant, platform-agnostic hardware and software stack designed for scalable driverless deployment. Kodiak will also provide operational support services, including remote monitoring from its operations center in Lancaster. Addressing safety, Goff said Kodiak, as part of the autonomous vehicle industry, builds what he called a safety case that he said offers comprehensive proof the vehicles are acceptably safe. he described how the computer drives the truck. First, there is a little motor attached to the steering column and an actuator that helps guide the steering wheel. If the computer says turn the wheel 5 degrees, the actuator turns the wheel 5 degrees. They are all highly reliable parts long in use, he said. There is risk in single components, so Kodiak installs a lot of redundancy in its system, Goff said. There are 2 motors on the steering column, 3 brake actuators, a main computer, and 2 backup computers, and 2 separate electrical systems. Quote, we also have fallback capabilities, so if anything goes wrong with the hardware, the truck, like a check engine light or a tire blows, the computer can pull the truck over safely, Goff said. 2, the company uses a sophisticated and detailed computer simulation environment to test multiple scenarios, from the appearance of cows to pedestrians. The results are analyzed and used to help Kodiak devise even more scenarios. Quote, we're very confident in our safety case, he said. With the successful first delivery, Goff said there is a huge opportunity mid to long term to apply industrial autonomous trucking logistics and improve safety on Permian Basin roads. For now, he said Kodiak is focusing its Permian Basin efforts on its work with Atlas. Quote, this truly is a unique opportunity, he said.
Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 81-year-old female who has been on Xarelto for years due to my deep vein thrombosis, DVT. I also have an inferior vena cava, IVC filter. I read that low-dose aspirin, 325 mg, is just as effective in preventing clots in the legs as Xarelto, which is very expensive. My doctor advises against changing to aspirin, but won't give me an explanation as to why. I switched anyway, and the redness in my foot disappeared. After 1 month of taking 325 milligrams of coated aspirin daily, I have no symptoms and actually feel better. What are your thoughts? And Dr. Roach responds, although aspirin is better than nothing, it has been proven in multiple trials to be less effective than Xarelto and similar medicines in people who are at risk for blood clots. In a year-long trial comparing the 2 recurrences of DVT, a blood clot in the deep veins of the leg, occurred in just over 1% of people taking Xarelto and in 4.4% of people taking aspirin. This study uses low-dose aspirin, 100 milligrams, rather than the full dose of 325 milligrams that you are taking. The risk of bleeding was about the same among the aspirin group and the Xarelto group. Aspirin is an anti-inflammatory, which may be why the redness in your foot disappeared. I doubt it had anything to do with a blood clot. For people at a high risk, I recommend against changing from a more effective medicine like Xarelto to aspirin. In your case, you are protected against a blood clot in the lung by your filter, which is designed to catch any blood clot before it can get to the lung. Unfortunately, the IVC filter slightly increases the risk of a reoccurrence of a blood clot in the legs, so it's important to keep taking medication to reduce your risk. Given the serious nature of a blood clot, I can't recommend disregarding your doctor's advice, although you deserve a thorough explanation from your doctor. If the main issue for your wanting to change medication is the expense, you might ask your doctor if there are less expensive alternatives that would still be as effective as Xarelto. The manufacturer also offers a program to help with expenses. And you can write to Dr. Keith Roach at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida 32853, 6475. Dear Abby, after many years of trying to keep our family together, divorce is our final option. My husband has had two affairs that I know of during our 30-year marriage. They hurt me deeply. We've had lots of counseling, but we can't get past the damage and breakdown in communication. Should I tell our university-aged children about the affairs? I kept them secret for years because he was a good father, and I didn't want to ruin my kids' relationship with their dad. But now that we are breaking up, I'm afraid I may be blamed when our situation is entirely his fault. I did everything I could to save our marriage, including forgiving the first affair, which happened before our kids were born, and raising what I thought were happy and successful children with him. Now he has blown this up again, and I'm angry he gets to continue having a good relationship with our children. At the same time, I have a good relationship with my elderly father, although I suspect he may have cheated on my mother. After all these years, I don't know for sure, and I'm grateful I don't. What do you think? Should my children know the reason why we split? Dear Abby, answers. If your husband is true to form, your children will probably figure out for themselves that their dad has a character flaw. You stated that you are grateful you don't know the intimate details about your father. That's why I'm recommending you take a page out of your own book and refrain from the temptation to sling mud at your almost ex. Another dear Abby, my best friend and I both have children in their mid-20s. I don't understand why she coddles her son to the point that he is just now learning to do laundry, clean his own bathroom, pay bills, grocery shop, or even attend doctor's appointments on his own. She always has some excuse as to why he wasn't taught life skills when he was younger. When it came time for her son to move out, she bought herself a new home instead. She stated it would be easier for him and that he shouldn't have to pay the price of a house with interest rates where they are. She then spent an insane amount on a home and moved, buying new furniture for herself and leaving her old stuff for him. How can she not see she's doing more harm than good when it comes to teaching him independence? Both parents do this to him. My daughter, age 18, has been doing these things since she was 12, and that includes cooking, yard work, laundry, and housework, besides just vacuuming. Doesn't my friend realize it's harmful to not have her son do things on his own? Am I wrong for thinking this way? And dear Abby answers, you are not wrong. By not teaching her son survival skills, he will need to be on his own, if he ever gets there. She has slowed his ability to fend for himself. This may have been an attempt to make his life easier. It could also have been an attempt to keep her beloved son dependent upon her as long as possible. Be thankful the young man is getting the lesson he is being taught, even if they are a little late. And you can write to Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.